Early this week, I woke up in the middle of the night with the perfect story for the Giving Tree service this year. Well, I had a vague memory of a story that I thought would be perfect. It had to do with an old man and a lot of keys, and heaven was involved. But Leah had told me this story several years ago, so I texted her and said, "Can you tell me, remind me of this story?" And she said, "I've never heard it before, but it sounds like a great idea, so you should write it," which I did. Once upon a time, a long time ago, or maybe it was yesterday or a week from Thursday, there was a man who had everything he could want. He had a lot of money and lived in a fine house. He had a loving husband, and his 2.5 children were very sweet. His dog was well behaved, and his cat actually came when he called. The man also had a lot of friends, threw wonderful parties, and was well respected in town. As I said, he had everything he could want. He also had some anxiety. You might think that having everything he could want and all, he'd be happy and content. He wasn't. He was really, really worried. He was worried that he could lose it all. Or worse, that someone could come in and steal it from him. "I can't have that," the man muttered to himself. "No, not at all. I can't have people coming in and taking all of this. I have to find a way to protect what I have." Well, he knew that most of his money was in the bank where it'd be safe, but he always kept a fair amount of cash at home as well. And so he had one of the rooms in his house reinforced and put in an especially strong door with its own unique lock. He took the key for the lock and put it on a key ring that it was attached to his belt. "There," he said, "now I can feel safe." Do you think he felt safe? No. A few days later, he got to worrying again, this time because of all the beautiful and valuable art that he had decorating his home. What if someone came in and took that? So he took all the paintings and sculptures and put them in a reinforced room with an especially strong door, which had its own unique lock. And he put the key for that door onto the key ring with the other one. Do you think he felt safe yet?
No.
Not at all. Because there was all of the furniture in the house, handmade out of the most expensive materials. Why, he said to himself, they could fetch a small fortune if someone were to break in here and steal them. "I can't have that," he said. "I can't have that at all." What do you think he did? That's right. He reinforced another room to put all of his furniture in behind its own especially strong door with its own unique lock, the key for which he put with the others on the ring that was attached to his belt. Then there was the silverware and the china and the candlesticks to protect and their fine clothes made from linen and silk. He took all the books from the library, all the tools from the shed, all the food from the fridge, even all the ice from the icebox. Thing after thing after thing went into room after room after room, each with its own especially strong door and its own unique lock. And soon, the ring attached to his belt grew to be quite heavy. But do you think he stopped? No. His family wanted him to stop, but as they beseeched him, the man suddenly realized that they were precious to him, more precious than any of the other things he had locked away. So he locked them away in their own reinforced room with a rather complicated but efficient food storage and delivery system. And this room, too, had its own especially strong door secured by one more unique lock. And his key ring got one ring heavier. Now, throughout all this time, his friends and neighbors had come to his house wondering if he was okay. They hadn't seen him in town for some time, and he hadn't been throwing any of his parties. People were worried. But the man didn't dare let them in. They might see what he was up to, knock him over the head, take his keys, and steal his things. "I can't have that," the man said. "I can't have that at all." So he hired some construction workers to build a great wall around his house. He had them put in an especially strong door, and the lock for this door was the most unique of all. And it had a very heavy key. Well, after he locked this last door, the man sat on the floor because his furniture was all locked away. And he looked at his empty walls because all he'd left up was hooks and some wire. His well-behaved dog had long since run away, and although the cat was still lurking about, it no longer came when he called. "But at least everything's safe," the man said. "At least I know everything's safe."
While we're waiting for the rest of that story,
the last thing the man remembered was sitting on the floor of his finally safe, if totally empty, house. Now, somehow, he found himself at the gates of heaven. Except they weren't really gates, and they definitely weren't pearly. Instead, there was an old wooden door, which sagged a little on its hinges, and which had no lock at all. "I've been meaning to get that thing fixed," God said. "But I've been a little busy lately, and besides, I give away just about everything I have, so I don't have a lot left over for maintenance." "But how do you keep everything safe?" the man asked. "Oh, yes," God said, "you're that lock and key guy. Well, come with me and I'll show you to your room." So the man walked with God for what seemed like an eternity until they came to what looked for all the world like a little shack. "Go on in then," God said, "home sweet home and all that." The man turned to say something to God, but she was already gone. So the man went inside. It was dark. It was really, really dark in there. The man couldn't see anything. He couldn't see his own hand in front of his face. So he turned back to open the door again so that he could get some light inside. But he found that the door was stuck. He couldn't open it. "Sorry," God said over what sounded like an old intercom. "The door's locked. You'll need the key. It's hanging on a hook on the wall over there." "But I can't see anything," the man said. "Let there be light," God replied, chuckling a little to herself. And immediately there was a dim glow like dawn before the sun's really shown up. And in that light, the man saw the room for the first time. A bed, a table, a chair, and on the walls, all four walls, hundreds and hundreds of keys, maybe thousands. God said that he'd need to find the key if he was going to open the door. The key, singular. He'd have to find the one key that fit that lock. But that could take forever. "It'll take more than forever," the man said to himself, "if I don't get started. If I don't find that key, I could be stuck here for all of eternity. And I can't have that. No, 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 I can't have that at all." So the man started trying keys, one by one, to find the key that fit. Key after key after key. brass keys, ornate silver keys, simple wooden keys. The man would try each one in turn, and when it didn't fit, he'd throw it onto the floor and try the next. And after a while, there was a pretty large pile of keys in the center of the room, but the walls looked just as full as when he'd started. So as he took the next key off its hook, he looked really closely, and sure enough, another one appeared to replace the one he'd just removed. "How am I ever going to open this lock?" the man cried. The intercom scratched to life again. "Don't focus so much on the lock," God said. "Look for the key. Look at the keys." Well, by now the man's eyes had adjusted to the dim light in the room, and he could see pretty well. And when he looked carefully at a key in his hand, he saw that there was a word on it: greed. He picked up another one: dishonesty. The next one said gossip. The words weren't all negative. There were some positive ones as well: friendliness, forgiveness, curiosity. Key after key, the man looked closely at each one to see what was written on it. None of them said that it was the key. He started to despair of ever finding the right key and ever getting out of the locked room. The man sat on the floor and cried a little. He thought of his family, whom he'd locked away. He knew they were okay because of that complicated but efficient food storage and delivery system. But he realized for the first time that when he had locked them away, he hadn't protected them. He'd robbed them of their real value. Because what is a family that can't love and be loved? And while on a far different level, what's a chair you can't sit on? Or a painting you can't look at, or china you can't eat from, or a home you can't open up to your neighbors and friends, or money that you can't spend on something worthwhile. Well, as the man was thinking these thoughts, he was absentmindedly brushing his hand through the pile of keys. And without really thinking about what he was doing, he pulled one out. There was something different about this key, although he couldn't quite say what it was. It just felt different somehow. When he looked at it, he saw that it said, "Love." On a hunch, he got up, went over to the door, put the key in the lock, and it turned. The door opened, and the man stepped out into heaven. To his surprise, he found himself sitting once again on the floor of his overly empty house. It must have all been a dream. And yet, he was holding the key that had unlocked the shed. In the silence, he heard God's voice again. "Love," she said. "It's the key that can open any lock." "Open the locks," the man nearly shouted. "I have to open all the locks." He first ran to the room where his family was, and sure enough, Love opened the lock. After hugging his husband especially tight and taking his kids up into his arms for long overdue kisses, the man ran to all the other rooms to try this new key. And you know what? It opened all of the other locks too, despite each one being unique. It even opened the especially unique lock on the door that was on the Great Wall. His friends were all so glad to see him, and he joyfully invited each one in. And together, they all put the house back the way it had been, with two exceptions. He had all the locks taken out of all the doors and had the word "love" written above each one. "This house and all that I have," he declared, "will now always be open to all who enter in love." And I've been told, and I believe that it's true, that the man, his family, and all of his friends and neighbors lived happily from that time forward. And that if you listened very carefully as you passed by, you could often hear the sound of God chuckling to herself.